So, if you have been alien abducted and you've been probed for the last 6 weeks in some ship off the earth, then you wouldn't have heard about the Paint the Town Red campaign that we're doing, where we've been saying, I'm not okay, my friends are not okay, some of them are weird, just plain weird, but they will be when I bring them to Jesus. And we've said that here's what we do to bring them to Jesus. And I finally got out with the old image we had for identify Jesus, just because it sucked. And so the first thing is to identify, okay? So who are the friends in my life? And so some weeks back when we wrote down the names of our lost friends, one of the names that came to mind was a young guy studying at Rhodes University. And he actually believes in the other story. If you remember last week, I said there were two stories. It was man's story and God's story. So I pick him up at his house yesterday morning at 4:30 a.m. I'm not suggesting that all your friends, you should go to their house at 4:30 and say, come, I'm going to evangelize you. But what I did is I rang the doorbell at 4:30. I said, come, let's go. We're going out for an adventure. I've been reading this book called Consider the Birds, okay? Consider the Birds. It's not about the females. It's about birds. And here's what I begin to talk about. I talk about the fact that having grown up as a Christian, and obviously this is not the first time I've met Justin, it's quite hard to receive the evolution story, that other story. But I know that I've been involved with birds of the feathered kind for a while, and I know that new species of birds are being created even in my lifetime. There's a little bird that lives in our trees around Joburg and elsewhere called the white owl. And it's a little green bird with a white owl, which is a brilliant name for a bird with a white owl. But I also happen to know that down on the Orange River, not too long ago, something has happened where a new version of that bird has come into being. And it's happened in the last few years, okay? So it's not been something that's been around all the time. So this new little thing is called an orange river, and what it's done is it's developed this peach flanks on the side of its body. And it wasn't around before. It's not like people didn't see it. It's a new species. And so when I'm talking to Justin, he says to me, so my mum believes this very strongly, that evolution is rubbish, right? And that there is no such thing as evolution. And he says, I'm so frustrated with her and her Christianity because she just gets into a fight with me the whole time. And like, do you really think that God has suddenly said, oh, guess what? There's time for a new creation. I'm going to create the Orange River Water and I'm going to drop it down from heaven, down on the Orange River. And you know, when you hear an argument like that, you realize this bird has evolved and has changed. And so I began to connect with him, because here's what I need to do with him. I need to get him to think differently about what Christians think. The fact that this is possible. I'm evolving, aren't I? I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm adapting. I'm different because of this Ignite Youth journey. There have been things that have happened here. And so in the background, as I'm praying for him, as I'm finding this opportunity to chill, to do something that we both love, I am getting to that point where I can have significant connection with him. And I've helped him realize in our time that you don't have to reject the whole of God's story because someone has a version of it that is bumping up to your version. He's a scientist. He's studying ornithology. He's going to be probably one of this country's sharpest ornithologists, which sounds really quite painful. And when we were walking, and 10 meters from us, a leopard suddenly jumped up from the water's edge. Now, we're on foot. We're not armed. The most dangerous I am is I've got a camera that shoots, but it doesn't really shoot bullets, you know? And when this leopard suddenly leaps up and goes charging away from us, not more than 10 meters from us, and we watch this thing go, we fire some shots off, he turns around and he's got his arm in the air and he's coming to high five me. He says, Mark, that is the best moment of my lifetime. My life's goal, my bucket list has been to see a leopard in the wild while I'm on foot. All of us have seen a leopard when we're driving in a car, right? Maybe, maybe not. But when you see it on foot and you wee yourself, No, I didn't really. You need to wear a diaper if you do that sort of thing. But it was one of those moments where him and I have now shared something that has forever changed our relationship. As I begin to listen to his story about how he's in a really bad state and why he's been in hospital this week, because he's drank so much that he has now got a peptic ulcer. And the doctor said he was very close to dying this week. Kind of like what Nao's got. I don't think Nao's got that from drinking. But it's acids and stuff that can attack us. And as I listened to his story, I realized that, you know what? I've got a story to share about how God has touched my heart. And one of the things that I believe happened on the day is I've connected him in his mind to what his people are doing on his campus in Grahamstown. And he said, hey, I've actually got a friend who spoke about his people. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a cult or something. And so I'm undermining what he believes as I'm sharing my story. And all along, what I've been doing, slowly but surely, is starting to reframe who God is for him. Because he has rejected God. I wish I could tell you that it all ended with Kumbaya and him praising God yesterday. But he's busy driving right now down to Grahamstown, and he's not yet saved. And even this morning, I was praying for him, saying, Lord, don't let him die on the roads, because if he does, I don't think he's going to enter heaven yet. But I'm believing and trusting that God is going to do something until he can hear God's story fully. So last week, we explored God's story. I don't know if you remember how it went, and here's what we said. That God exists forever. Now, there's a reason why you need to listen to this, because you're going to do this in a moment with someone next to you. God exists from all eternity, forever and ever and ever. God wasn't created 6,000 years ago. God was never created. If you want me to prove that, no problem. See James in the break, and he'll prove that. Secondly, God at some point decides to create the world. It's like he gives birth to this world, this universe. He then creates humankind, male and female. Probably the most good-looking guy ever, and probably the most beautiful woman. Although, if I know God, maybe not the most beautiful, because I know that the most beautiful people are very shallow. And so they very soon sin, and they undermine it. Sorry, if you are very beautiful, that's okay. I don't mean to diss you, Pepsi. That's okay. And so very soon, God has said to them, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Watch this. I'm going to get it right this week. And they do that. And in order to keep them from the tree of life, God chases them out of the garden, right? That's really cool. I went back and reread it myself. And so as a result, they get separated from God. Don't look too close, because you won't see anything, I promise you. So they get separated from God, and they begin to try and please God. People try and please God, believe it or not, through religious observances. Others just say, to hell with you, God, I'm not interested in you. I'm just going to live my own way. I'm going to be angry and brutal, and I'm going to kill some young people on Saturdays. You know, and some people do that, end up in rebellion. But God has a plan. He has a plan to rescue his people. His plan is to draw them back to himself by providing an incredible example of what it is to live as a follower of God. And Jesus steps into a human form, fleshes himself out, is born, lives a perfect, sinless life. I mean, he never sinned. Have you sinned? Did you sin this week? Like once, maybe. Now, so even once is like one strike, you're out. One strike, you're out. If Jesus had to sin one time, salvation was overs. One time. These blooming taxi drivers, wham, no more salvation. Thank you, start again. Oh, man, got to get a new Mary and Joseph going somewhere in Palestine. One time, he didn't sin once. Oh, he got angry. But that's not sin. If it's righteous anger, if someone's making a bad move on a girl, I don't know whether bopping them on the nose is a good thing, but getting angry and dealing with it, that's a good thing. Okay? In your anger, do not sin. Love that verse. And so Jesus dies, a sinless, spotless lamb comes back to life again. I'm laboring this because, you know what, when I'm going to share this story with a lost friend, I need to know this. I need to embrace this. I need to live this. It needs to be my thing, my story. This is me. I know this. I know this backwards. And Jesus rises from the dead. No one has ever been died and risen from the dead. Some dude went on a walk once, got too close to God's house, and just stayed there. His name was Enoch. He never came back to earth. Moses, we're not sure where his body is. People thought maybe he had been taken. God took him or something. Elijah, he went up to heaven in a chariot. No one has died on this earth. There was some, if you remember your New Testament. When Jesus died, the graves opened and some people came out. I don't know what they looked like. Huh? Lazarus. It's not normal, right? We can count them on one hand. Lazzie, Eni, Mosey, and one or two other dudes. And they are saved. We are saved as we repent, as we say, I'm not going to try and run across this big chasm, this big gap, and like leap over, because my best leap is going to get me halfway. Even if I am 90% good, I'm disqualified from relating to God. So here's what I want you to do. Just turn to someone next to you and walk them through that story. Share that story with them. Okay, the bridge is not there, but you can add that at the end. Share this story with someone next to you. Make it like it's your story. Okay, pause there. I just wanted you to get the idea of the fact that one day you will find yourself sharing God's story with someone. Okay? If you feel like you might forget it, just jump onto the Ignite Facebook site, and I've actually turned that whole step thing into a video with what I had shared last week. So if you want to listen to it, or if you want to send someone to it, and you forget some of the steps, but try and just think of, hey, this is the story. This is how it worked. And so your friends can come to know Christ through that. And so the other thing we did last week is we explored a couple ways that we can tell God's story. I'm not going to take you through all those, but we said we could use words, pictures, videos. We could use websites. We can have drawings, stories. We can pick up the Bible. There were some verses in Romans. And I have noticed that we've had a 100% increase in traffic and users visiting the Facebook site. So I'm feeling a little bit better this week that I'm not wasting my time with the Facebook group. So if you don't visit it, you will have salt in your cereal. And I'm praying that God will do that. Lord, give them salt in their cereal. When they sprinkle sugar, turn it into salt if they don't visit the Facebook group this week. Thank you, Lord. Watch out. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I want to think for a moment about these three stories, how we can connect them, okay? Because I think they're overlapping. You might feel that this is a pure linear sequence. You know, I'm going to identify, pray, chill, connect. I think that lot is somewhat. You might actually start by a chilling and connect moment when you realize, whoa, God wants me to lead this person to himself. And so before you've put some name on a card, before you've started praying, can you see how these, I've tried to not use the word steps. I mean, steps are the easiest thing. You know, you walk up steps if you want to get into your house. But these steps are kind of fluid. And so you might just find that all of a sudden you have this meaningful conversation and then God prompts you and said, I want to reach this person and I'm going to use you. And the same thing with the stories. As I listen to their story, it overlaps with my story. I'm looking the whole time while I'm with Justin, looking for those connections to my childhood. You know, I mean, this kid, he's like a kid, he's 21. I mean, he's just like, he's a lottie, man. You know, and I'm this old bully next to him. So I'm not naturally living in his world. And so I have to make that leap. I can't talk about parenting an 18-year-old. This dude is like 3 years older than my son. You know, if we weren't birding, it would look quite weird. You know, and so as I'm connecting that, at some point, and here's maybe how it rolls out. Because what I'm doing when I listen to their story is I'm discovering some need in their life. What's going on in their life where there's an opening and opportunity? I didn't rejoice about this, but when Justin said, I've just broken up with my girlfriend of 3 years because she's joined the drug crowd at Grahamstown University, and I've warned her if she goes the drug route, it's going to destroy her life. And he says, Mark, she has so changed her personality because of the crowd she's with. And he says, it's hectic. That is a need. He has a need in his life now that he could knee-jerk and fill it with something else. But I honored him and I affirmed him. And I said, Justin, you will be rewarded for the step that you've made. Either you will have a profound impact in her life and she will turn around, or something else will happen. Here's what I think and hope and pray. Not salt on his cereal, but someone really special from his people, Grahamstown, will connect with him. Because God can do connections like that. So God, give him a honey and his cereal. Okay, so discover their needs by listening to their story. Then what you do is you connect your story to their need. See how what they're talking about relates to your story and or God's story connecting to that need. That's why Jesus' gospel presentation was different for every single person he ever met. That's why we look in vain for a one-style-fits-all. Because the woman in adultery was very different to the woman, a lot of women in adultery in the New Testament, but this woman with like a whole lot of wives and stuff at the well. Very different to Nicodemus. Very different to a blind chap. Everyone, Jesus deals with them where they are. One moment he's speaking about water. Okay, so Jesus, must we talk about water when we lead people to Jesus? Probably, unless you're walking by a river. Here's water. Do you want to drink? I actually saw the spot this week where I drank water from this river last Monday because I thought I was going to die of thirst because I'd walked 25 kilometers. And that's a bit far without water, I've realized. You do need water. And the green water that I drank that didn't kill me, maybe. I looked at that and I thought, you know what, Justin? Like, I could have drowned, died last week with drinking this water, but Jesus saved me. No, that would have been really cheesy. Okay? And so you're finding a way to connect with their need, not in a cheesy. If you are cheesy, I'm going to hunt you down and give you salt in your cereal. Okay, so here's the question. What is the next step as we're identifying, praying, chilling, connecting, telling, sharing, and listening? What is the other? What else? What do I do now? Eat, right? It's food. Time for food. If you've done all this, you go to the tuck shop, you have a chocolate and a Coke. That's one thing you can do. But there's got to be something else, right? Let me put the thing on the table for today. It's invite. Invite. Here's what I want to say. Why should I invite? And what am I talking about? Am I telling people to come to church? Here's what I'm thinking about why I should invite. There is only two destinations. We actually said this in week one. You're going to spend either the future in a place where you don't want to be, or you're going to spend it in paradise. There's only two places. There's not a middle road for people who didn't care, people who didn't really believe either man's story or God's story. There's only, I don't know if anyone else has found some other place. Purgatory, that some Catholics believe in, is really just a stepping stone to one of the two. You know, no one's just going to have this like, oh, no, I'm going to Durban when I die. Well, you're welcome to be buried in Durban, but that's not where your soul is going and your spirit. It's going to go to some place. And Jesus is saying, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat. You see, it is about food. And they with me. Jesus says that I am looking to encounter you. And that's why that book is called Encounter. It's encounter God. God wants a moment with every human being where they either receive or reject him. And he's pushing for the receiving. Okay? And that's why sometimes he puts salt in our food so that we hunger for righteousness. And so in that very chasm that we've been thinking about, Jesus is provided the way for people to get over. And he's saying, don't do good works because they're not getting you anywhere. I'm tired of like going down to the bottom of the chasm, patching you up. You know, it's like back brace and knee guards and plasters, and you're just getting broken up. Why don't you just come and walk this way that I've provided for you? So Jesus is the one who is inviting people. How do we invite people to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Well, maybe just a question sometimes. It would be something like, so what do you think of this story? I've just shared God's story. How does it relate to you? You know, how does it connect with your life? where are you at right now? Have you ever had an opportunity, you know, to receive Christ? Where are you in that journey? Remember last week on the flip chart, went to heaven. But on the one side was us, and on the other side was God. And where are you now? Jesus has done all that's needed. Where are you? Are you saying, like, I'm not interested right now? You cannot get across a flooding river. Plus, have you seen the size of water monitors? If I had to stop now and show you pictures I took yesterday of water monitors, they would scare you spitless. Now, they don't have, like, very sharp teeth like crocodile, but they can suck you to death. You know, if they touch onto your face, it's like, ugh, it's like really, really horrible. So you don't want to land in that middle. You don't have to land in the middle. You can pole vault over because of what Christ has done. Where are you? At some point, people need to be asked something like that. Maybe something as straightforward is, are you ready to trust in Jesus for salvation? Do you want to receive what Jesus has done for you? It's a yes, no thing. Are you ready? No, I'm not. Hey, well, I'll see you at Big Break tomorrow. I'm sure by then you'll be ready after salt in your cereal. And here's, if the person says, yes, I am, what do? You phone IMTA and you say, IMTA, my friend wants to receive Jesus. Can you come and get them done? No, you don't have to do that. He might be performing live in East London in his hometown. He can't be coming every time you call him. And you can't call me if I'm 2 hours away wrestling with leopard and crocodiles. I don't want to be distracted. I'm climbing a tree. No, that's not wise if they're leopard. Because where do you go? You know what I mean? I was going to jump into the river. And even that, I'm like, I don't know if the dude's one of those aquatic leopards. That thing too. So here's what you can do. Let me empower you to say to your friend, it's actually quite easy. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner. Let me try this. What comes after A? And what comes after that? So this is going to be really easy for you all. Okay, I'm glad that girl's not here from that other weird school that was here last week. But if you admit you are a sinner, okay? There is no one righteous. Your righteousness is like filthy rags in God's eyes. I didn't say that. Your good deeds are like used toilet paper in God's eyes. That's what the Bible says. The best deeds, your nicest, like, wow, I'm going to help this old lady across the road. That doesn't come far enough. Does God love it when his children do good things out of the empowerment of his Spirit? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do any good. But if your good deeds are with a view of, I'm going to please God. Well, look at me. Bugamina. I am phenomenal, God. I have, like, wow. God is like, dude, toilet paper. Not nice. Use tissue. It's like got green stuff in it, like from my nose. It's like, it's not earning you points. This is not the brownies or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts. You can't earn favor with a perfect, righteous God. What's after A? It's B. Believe that Jesus died for you. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. And that's not always easy. At that point, you might have to stop and say, hey, this is what I mean. You know? You've fallen short of the standards that God has for you. Secondly, believe that Jesus died for you. Jesus did not die because some Romans killed him. He willingly laid his life down. That was God's plan. He died for you, and to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become God's kids. C, confess Jesus is Lord. Because the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so even this morning, if you're sitting here, you're not sure if you're saved, here's what you need to do. Admit that you're a sinner. God, I am a sinner. We all are. You can pretend, but you are. I mean, I'm looking at you. You look like a sinner. We sinners. All have sinned and fallen. How many have sinned? All. It's a good time to wave, you know? Me. Believe. Believe that Jesus died for you. He didn't just die because, you know, Caesar was having a hard day. You know what I mean? And here's what you simply do is you lead them through a prayer that goes something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. My good deeds ain't going to save me. I believe that you died for my sins to save me from sin and death. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. There is something so powerful in the simplicity of acknowledging that you've not lived worthy of God, but that you're in a place where you're going to receive what God has done for you. And as I share that with my friend, something happens at that moment. God translates them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God literally picks them out of one kingdom, places them in another. He sends his Holy Spirit at that moment to live in them forever. And he comes and takes up permanent habitat, all because of what Jesus did. Does this make sense? Does it make sense to you? And so the next thing I want to do is I want to ensure someone, you know, if you prayed this prayer, you can know for certain that you are accepted by God. How can I say that? How can I assure someone? Well, here's John 1:12. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I really hope that you're saved. No, you've admitted your sins, you've believed in what Jesus did on the cross for you, and you've confess Jesus as Lord. It's that straightforward. And here's what I'm actually trying to do. I'm not necessarily trying to do this whole process. The fact that Justin is not a believer today is okay, because I'm trying to bring him to Jesus, right? And this is real pictures of him. I took them yesterday. From the very far furthest away, he's maybe unaware of Jesus, unaware of anything, unaware of God. Most of the people I deal with are not actually unaware of God. They're more disillusioned or hostile, or, you know, at some point when they take a step closer, they start to consider. Yeah, you're challenging me. I watched yesterday on a number of occasions. I could just see him like, oh, maybe you got a point. Maybe I've rejected my mother's religion. And maybe I did it too quick. Maybe it's not science or creation, or, you know? Maybe God is not anti-science. Maybe God is more scientific than we think. But if I can move them towards that place where they start to accept the story, this truth of God, they'll get ever closer. And maybe all I'm doing is moving someone one step closer. I pray God will have opportunities in our lives when we move people through the whole process. But at the very least, all we're doing is just moving one step forward. Just nudging someone in the right direction. And they will get one step closer to being saved. And so I want to challenge you to keep working with your lost friends. Keep working with them through the stuff that they're going through. Because they're not okay, right? But very soon, they will be okay for eternity. When they close their eyes at some point, and they confess that they're a sinner, they accept what Jesus did for them, and they are born again. And all of those blessings will flood into their lives. They will have the strength to deal with whatever gets thrown their way. I think it would be awesome if you would have that opportunity, maybe in this coming week, to actually tell the story. I think you did it earlier. You're going to have to do some homework. You said earlier you're going to memorize that. You know, you have to find a way to know the story, because that's near the end of the process. But work the process until you get to the point when you can invite someone to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And do you notice that this invite we're talking about is not actually invite them to church? There's a place in the process to be inviting your friends, and we're not anti that. But we want some victories, some wins in this idea that, you know what, God is going to use me to draw people to Christ. And the challenge is to keep working this process, to be identifying, to be praying. So I have to be looking out for people around my life, whether it's a chance encounter or whether it's one of my friends. I need to be praying for people. It is amazing what happens when we pray. Either people get salt in their cereal or something positive will happen. And then I need to be chilling and doing stuff. The best thing is when you do something with someone that you enjoy doing anyway. When you want to get up like I did at 3:30 yesterday morning, and you actually want to do that and spend a day in the wilds, and yet you're doing that alongside someone who's coming to know God, that is a win, right? And as you begin to connect with them in a deeper way, as you listen to their life, their story, as you tell your story, as you share your story, and then tell God's story, I pray that God will give you the opportunity to invite them to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I trust that that's going to happen in the coming weeks, and that we'll have an opportunity to testify about that. Next week we'll talk about how does this book fit into that, what's that about, why has the church designed it and created it, and so you might want to smudge into it. It's got some stuff, some questions that we put in there that help us think about, is there a God, and then so what, and what is God's plan of salvation, and how do I come to know him, and what happens after that. And so if you want to bring it back next week, we'll help you journey with that. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for how you came and saved me. Lord, when I couldn't save myself and when I was drowning, you came and you rescued me, and you used other people to do that. And Lord, I'm challenged today to rethink your story and to know it and to embrace it, to understand it, Lord. And if I haven't ever had that chance of receiving your story, I want to admit, Lord, that I'm a sinner. I want to believe that Jesus, you died for me, that I could be reunited with Father God. And Lord, I want to confess that you are Lord, and I want to own you as Lord and Savior of my life. And even in this moment, Lord, I trust you. I trust what you've done. I realize that my good deeds can't cut it. They don't get me eternal life. But I look to Jesus and I receive what he's done. And Lord God, I repent of my sin. And I say that from this day forward, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to turn my back on things that I've done before. Thank you for what you've done in saving me, in reuniting me with Father. And I pray that somewhere in my Christian walk with you, I'll have the privilege of taking others through this process. I pray, God, that when that opportunity comes and that moment is there, that I won't be distracted or I won't miss it, but I'll be used by you. Lord, use my mouth if you want. Use my hands. Use my feet. Use my ears and my eyes for your kingdom's sake, so that others may come to know you. Let us little by little paint this town red as we spread your love with people that we meet. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.